Well, good morning, everybody. Here we are now, continuing into January. Anybody else like me disappointed that we have not gotten a big snowstorm yet? I am very disappointed. In fact, I'm just going to keep praying and praying and praying and praying because I know the prayers of the righteous get answered. So I must not be. But I keep, you know how Facebook has those great memories that you can look back on that one page, and everybody knows 4 years ago was the time when we had like 30 inches of snow. So I am just praying and praying hard for that. That has nothing to do with my message. Well, I guess it does because I love snow. So we're talking about love. But if you have not received a book yet for this year, raise your hand and we'll get you a book of our sermon series for notes. There's also the Bible reading plan in it as well. So if you have not received one and you want to receive one, hold your hand up high. And Craig is back there in the back just looking for hands. And he's not seeing any. So that's a great job. That means everybody by this time has at least maybe gotten a book, or you just don't care to take notes. That's okay. Either way, we know you're paying attention. We know you're following along with the series that we are doing. We started in January. It is January. Time is not going that fast. We started a few weeks ago looking at what we believe as a church, looking at our doctrine and why we believe those things. But we have something different this year. Last year, as we did our Bible series, the upper rooms were kind of just a continuation of that series. But now we have our own upper room series. And can anybody guess what it is? The fruit of the Spirit. Very good. The interesting thing is we're going to be looking at each little piece of the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to see, okay, what is Paul talking about when he kind of runs off this list of things. But if you are familiar with our upper rooms, you know that we like to take the opportunity to have the kids in the service because we want them to take part in communion. We want them to understand what communion is and why we partake in it here as a church. And to entertain them, we like to bring them up on stage. And I have no treats for you this time. It's because I figured you guys weren't like, you know, pets or animals that you had to come up on stage and get little treats all the time. But we are going to do something fun and something a little bit different, and it's something you guys will really enjoy. So why don't you guys come on up on stage? I know, plus all the people like seeing the great smiling faces of the kids and everything. Here we go. Look at that. Aren't they like so excited? Everybody love kids? Yeah. All right. If you do, come on out tonight, 5 o'clock, middle school and high school youth group. You can. Oh, you don't like them that much. Okay, well, if you want to come out. So why don't we spread out? Because I feel like always this side of the room gets favored. You guys ever feel left out on this side of the? You do. Theron wants them back. That's pretty good spread out. That is a good spread. All right. So we're talking about what today? Love. My kids know that because we've already kind of talked about it. We're talking about love. Now, I want to know, what is something that you kids just love?
Ice cream.
Ice cream. All right. Who else up here likes ice cream? That's only partial raise? Like, maybe. All right. Yeah. Who out there likes ice cream? Well, if I tell you what, we have ice cream after the. No, I'm just kidding. Wouldn't that be, ice cream sundae. Look at that. I'm just throwing stuff out there. We're just brainstorming of stuff that we can do after church. Somebody's going to run to the store right now and get some. All right, what is something else we love?
Electronics.
What was it?
Disney.
Ooh, who likes Disney? Oh, you like Disney more than ice cream? Because that was like a for sure hand raise. All right. What do you like about Disney?
It's fun.
It's fun.
There's a lot of cool rides and characters.
Cool rides and characters. Now, who out there likes Disney? Who out there likes Disney on the water? One of those boat thingies. Yeah, I hear a lot about those things. All right. What did you say, Kenzie? What did you like? Electronics. Oh, man. What kid up here likes electronics? What electronics do you like?
The Nintendo Switch.
Nintendo Switch.
My phone.
Your phone. Who you?
It doesn't call anybody.
Oh, okay. We just got the preference. It doesn't call anybody. It's more of a toy. All right.
It can call my mommy.
It can call your mommy. That's important. All right. So why do we love some of these things? They're fun. Yeah. They bring excitement to us. They taste, ice cream tastes good, right?
I just like them.
You just like them. So if we love ice cream, and we love who? Who's somebody you love? Okay. I was starting to get a little worried up here. All right. Finally, somebody at least said a parent, okay, a mom. So do you like ice cream as, love ice cream equal to your mom? No. So it's, okay, so there's a little bit of a difference. We kind of throw that word of love just out there. Do we love, where are you going? Scaring me. Don't approach the speaker. All right, security. Don't we have a security team to stop these types of things? All right, now what about this? Now, do we love God?
Yes.
Okay, we love God. Now,
yes, we
do we put God and ice cream? You can try. I work with middle school and high schoolers. I am not afraid. So, do we put ice cream and God at the same level of love?
Nope.
No. But we say we love all those things, and we kind of get different opinions about what we love. Maybe we just like ice cream. Maybe we love God, right?
Yeah.
You are not usually this wound up today. What do you guys have for breakfast this morning? There was donuts out there. All right. Now, we're going to talk about love now and what it means within the life of a Christian. And one of the things that we like to do once a month is the kids, back in Kids Quest on the first Sunday, have a little sing-along time. And we're going to take part in that today because we're going to learn about the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe you guys know it, and I want you guys in the audience, the words are going to be on the screen. So, Alex, why don't we bring over the video? Now, there's no actions, right? Is there actions to this?
No.
No, okay. There probably could be, but they're just saying no because they don't want to act them out. All right. The song. So are we ready to sing about the fruit of the Spirit? Wait, hold on, Alex. Pause it, Alex, real quick. All right. So we're going to sing this great song about the fruit of the Spirit. Are you guys ready for this?
Maybe.
You guys know the song. This is the one you guys sing back there, isn't it?
Yes, but just because we do it,
just we
like.
Oh, just because.
Wow.
You guys are so disappointing. All right, we got the sound all set now. Yeah. All right, there we go. Electronics. We love electronics and technology. This is the point of the service where I say, how are you guys doing? Everybody doing well?
The thing about electronics is that they don't always work.
And he's right there. Alex, he's calling you out saying it's you. All right. Now I think we're in. You guys are all just really anticipating this great song now. Here we go. You guys ready? Listen, I want to hear you guys nice and loud. Can you guys be loud? All right. And I want to hear you guys nice and loud too because the words are on the screen, all right? And here we go.
The fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. Fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. If you want to be a coconut.
You might as well hear it. You can't beat the fruit of the spirit, cause the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control.
Oh, I hear you guys. Come on.
Not a banana. The fruit of the spirit is not a banana. You want to be a banana? You might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the spirit, cause the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control.
Oh, there we go. The fruit Where's the of clappers?
The spirit is not a watermelon. The fruit of the spirit is not a watermelon. If you want to be a watermelon, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the spirit, cause the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the spirit is not a lemon. The fruit of the spirit is not a lemon. If you want to be a lemon, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control.
Got dancing, at least.
Oh, the fruit of the spirit is not a cherry. The fruit of the spirit is not a cherry. If you want to be a cherry, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Okay.
All right, last
Everybody
one, right?
Everybody knows that grapes come in bunches. So
remember to get in bunches.
The fruit of the spirit is not a grape. The fruit of the spirit is not a grape. You want to be a grape. You might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the spirit, cause the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. The fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness.
Whoa. Everybody feel like they know the fruit of the Spirit now? Maybe you feel like you got the fruit of the Spirit after saying, all right, why don't you guys go back to your seats? Because they were singing. They were singing very, very softly. They will get much more energetic. We got a showstopper. He's going to go back now and get told to. All right, well, we're looking at all those fruits of the Spirit. We're going to look at and see, okay, as Paul is writing this great letter to the Galatians and as he is ending this letter, what is he teaching us? But before we get to this point, we want to understand what is Paul saying here in this letter. And as we think about the book of Galatians, we know that it is one of the earliest books written. It's one of the earliest letters that we have. Most people think it was written around 48-49 AD, which puts it not too far after the life of Christ. It's one of the earliest insights to some of the things that were going on in the early church. We know that Paul visited this area during his first missionary journey, and we realize that after Paul had been preaching and teaching in this area, that other teachers came in. They kind of have this name, the Judaizers. And what they would do is they would take salvation and want to add the Jewish law to it. So in this particular case, as you read through the book of Galatians, he talks about salvation, but we hear about circumcision and the Jews wanting these new believers to be circumcised and follow the Mosaic law. And Paul is going to write to them to talk about salvation by faith. And as he comes to the end, he gets this great picture, this great verse about the fruits of the Spirit. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to pick it up in verse 22, where Paul is going to lay out these things that we're going to talk about. And I'm not going to read it as fast as the song. We're going to read it at a normal pace here. So in Galatians 5:22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So as I said, we're going to take a look and see what this first fruit of the Spirit is, love. And what do we learn about love in the Scriptures? The first thing that I think we see Paul expressing here is something that he writes about in chapter 2. And I think as we're living out our love as believers, one of the first things we see is that sometimes love means saying the hard things. Sometimes if we love somebody, it takes us to say truth and to speak truth into their life. And in Galatians, Paul is going to write about an interaction that he had with Peter. And the Apostle Peter, as you turn out in Galatians chapter 2, we get this little story of a snippet of an interaction he has with Peter. But when Cephas, who is known as Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from the Jews, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? So here's what's going on in this particular story. If you remember back to the Mosaic Law, there's all these regulations about what they could eat, who they could eat with. And these people would come in and want to, remember, live out this Mosaic Law now in the New Testament times. So at one point, Peter understood, and he knew the truth. He knew the freedom of the New Testament, which says you can eat with anybody. And then he knows the truth that all the food and the regulations laws are no more. You're free to eat whatever. So when those Jewish people weren't around, he was eating with the Gentiles. He was having a good time with them. But then when others would come into here in the city of Antioch, he would withdraw and ignore the Gentiles. He would only sit with the Jewish Christians, and he would ignore them. Paul realizes that Peter is doing something wrong. And he speaks to him and he says, look, what you are doing is not living out the truth of the gospel. He confronts him and he says, you really are being a hypocrite. And one of the dangers that he notes here is that people are actually being led astray because you are not living out the gospel. He says, Barnabas is falling away. Barnabas is a great man of Scripture. Barnabas was a man who traveled with Paul on his missionary journeys later on. And he says, look, because of what you are doing, you're even causing Barnabas to fall away. And as we think about our own lives, how many times do we see brothers and sisters in Christ not living out the truth of the gospel? Not following out the ways, the fruit of the Spirit. How many times do we sometimes turn a back to them and say, you know what, that's really none of my business. Who am I to judge the things that they are doing in their lives? But here we see that if we really love and care for somebody, we're going to speak truth into their lives. We're going to have a love for them that says, look, brother, sister in Christ, I can see what you're doing, and it is not aligned with Scripture. I want to call you out on it, and I want to see you live out the gospel in your life. I want to see you live out the love, the joy, the peace, and the patience. We don't really know how this interaction ended. We don't know really how Peter responded, but I'm sure Peter understood, and he knew he was in the wrong. And my guess is that he was hopefully thankful that Paul called him out on it. I have been spoken to a few times of truth in my life where I haven't been living it out. And I am thankful for those moments when I can have close friends who speak that into my life. I hope that as a church, we are comfortable with each other, that you have a close circle around you that can keep each other accountable. Because love means coming to each other. Paul picks up this point later on in Galatians chapter 6. It's something similar to what I've been writing about as I've been writing devotions through the book of Galatians. And in Galatians 6, 1, he says this, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." He says, "But keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." And as I was thinking about this verse, I heard a teaching about kind of a picture of how this works in our Christian lives. And the guy was saying, look, picture kind of a hunter out in the woods, and they're hunting for bears. And you ever seen a bear trap? They are nasty, nasty things. If you come across one, I suggest you don't step in it. But this is the picture of it. It says, this is a picture of somebody, the bear trap is like our sin. And you're walking through the woods and you come across somebody who has stepped on a bear trap. And if you know anything, the size of those will almost just slice your foot, cut your foot to a disgusting mess. And the sin is that in our lives. It is a disgusting mess. But certainly I don't think if you saw that, you would just turn your back and continue walking past that person. But the idea here is if someone is caught in sin, that we come down and we pull that trap off of their foot. But see, we also need to be careful as we help. Because if we're not careful, that trap could slip and our own hands and fingers could get caught in that trap. See, we are called to help, but we are also called to be careful. And to be careful that we don't fall into the same sins in which we are helping. We need to restore. We need to care for one another. He goes on in chapter 6 and says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of the Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let us each test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not to his neighbor. For each one will have his own burden to bear." We're talking about caring for each other, bearing the burdens of each other. This is what it's called when we look at each other in love. If you see a brother or a sister struggling, are you able to speak truth into their lives? And really the second thing that we flow from this is really the love for others. And as we think about the love for others, isn't this what we should have? A love and a care for each other. Paul in Galatians 5 is going to repeat some verses that are very familiar. It says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." We were just in the shape class this morning, and it was talking about this very thing, talking about using our spiritual gifts in love for the service of others. As we look out into the world, we are given these gifts not for ourselves, but to help others, to lift up each other. And Paul here is saying, as we love others, we fulfill the law in loving our neighbor as ourselves. See, he is repeating the words of Jesus here, who was asked what the greatest commandment is. And he says, look, I want you to love God and love others. He says it is on those two points that the law hangs, of how your love for God flows to your love for others. You see, it is through love that we delight in our serving. It is through love that we desire to serve one another. See, if we loved each other, we wouldn't lie, cheat, curse. No wrong would be done if we truly loved each other. Ironside says this. He says, "Oh, to walk in love, that Christ may be glorified in all our ways." See, he's saying, when we love each other, when we show this love of Christ in our service, it is Christ who gets the glory. We don't do things for ourselves in love because that is selfish. And that is what he's talking about in Galatians chapter 5. He's giving a comparison to the things of the flesh and to the things of the spirit. And he's saying that the things of the flesh are the things that we want to get rid of and we want to live in the spirit. See, if somebody were to look out at our church community, could they say, "Behold how they love each other"? Because that is what they said about the early church. When we look at the verses of the early church, they were constantly selling all they had, giving it to the poor. They were living out the actions that Christ told them to have. And as I was doing some research on this, I came across a great little letter from about 124 to 133 A.D. And it's this letter by this Greek Christian, Aristides. And Aristides is writing to the emperor in Rome. And I actually have handouts. So kids, your part isn't done yet. So if I could have some kids come on up, because I know you guys like to pass out papers, right? So I want you kids come on up, and I want you guys to pass out. So now, I probably don't have enough for everybody, but at least you guys can walk around and hand some things out. Isn't there a teacher? Look, these kids all look so excited. We're going to get some excited kids here. Ah, that made you smile. All right, so in this letter, this is about 100 years now after Christ. So we have the book of Galatians, and the book of Galatians is about maybe 15 years after Christ. Then we have this letter, and it's really called just this apology of Aristides. And as he writes to the emperor in Rome, he's really, hey, kids, give me one. I lost mine. isn't that what teachers, the number one rule is to keep one for yourself? So anyways, thank you. So as he's going through this and you read this whole letter, it's quite interesting. He's kind of writing about all these different people groups, religions of the time, and he's really kind of giving this comparison. And towards the end of the letter, anybody not get one that wants one? Because there's a whole stack. Here, Kenzie, take them all the way to the back. You're my kid. I can give them back to you. There you go. So he's saying all these things, and finally he gets to this point where he starts describing the Christians of the time. And I highlighted some of the things in here as he's writing this. You can see this is a translation of it. And it says, "But the Christians, O king, while they went out and made search, have found the truth." And it says, "For they know and trust in God, the creator of heaven and earth, in whom they have all things." Then a little bit later on, he starts to describe them. He says, "Wherefore they do not commit adultery, nor fornicate, nor bear false witness, nor embezzle, nor covet. They honor their father and mothers. They show kindness. They judge uprightly. Their oppressors they appease. They make them friends. They do good to their enemies." It says, "Through love towards them, they persuade others to become Christians." So people are seeing the love that these Christians are expressing, and they're saying, "I want what those people have." It says they love one another. It says widows, they do not turn away their esteem. They deliver the orphan from him who treats them harshly. When they see a stranger, they take him into their homes and they rejoice over him as a brother. For they do not call them brethren after the flesh, but brethren after the Spirit of God. It says even later on, it says they'll fast 2 or 3 days in order to supply someone else with their food. And it's amazing when you think about this letter that gives us insights into how these Christians were living out what the love that they felt Christ had given to them, the instructions that they had. And what a strange it must have seemed. If you read the whole thing, it's clearly the Christians stand out within this letter. Because he's talking about the Greeks and their gods and just the terrible murderous gods that their gods committed. If you know all the mythology and all those things. It talks about the Egyptians, and he doesn't think very highly of the Egyptians as you read through that. But he says, but the Christians have known the truth. And basically, we can look at it and say, they live out the truth. So are we, as believers, living out this truth of God? And it's what Jesus says. It says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And it says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So the question for us is, as the song says, will they know we are Christians by our love? By our love. And what a great testimony it is. It is a testimony not to us, but it is a testimony to God. To God and his great love for us. And that's the final thing I think that we see as we look at Galatians and as we look at the scriptures. The final thing that we see about love is that God loves us. To be more specific, God loves you. And I don't know what you came through those doors with today, but I know of the brokenness and the hurt that is lost in this world. And I want you to know the words that God loves you. I have a friend from Emmaus, and he posts this every day. One of the first things he posts is, God loves you. Every single day on Facebook. I didn't realize it was every day. It took me quite a while to realize he was posting it every single day. But he does. Every single day, he posts it. God loves you. And we see the verses here as we think about the table that is before us. In the time of communion, as we think about that very love of God that we are to express. We think about John 3:16, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We think about John 4:10, which says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his love in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, it's this love that causes us to help people. It's this love that drives us to go to Cherokee. It's the love of God that drives us to go to Bel Air and North Avenue to help those in need. And I want to share another opportunity that is going to arise. And it's this time of help and need for people who need it. See, I have another friend from college who is a missionary to the Bahamas. And if you know the recent history of that island, a devastating hurricane came through that island. And we have an opportunity as a church in either late April or early May to go down. Yes, I just said to go to the Bahamas. You can all shake your head and say yes, all right? But there is a Christian school. There is a church that has their leadership's homes destroyed. There is a church that needs plumbing, electrical, walls to be built, places to be gutted. And if you're interested in going and serving the love of God in that way, talk to me after the church. Talk to me at some point, and I can get you more information about this Bahamas relief trip that we want to take. And why do we do things like that as believers? We do that because we have a love for those who are hurt, a love for those who are broken. And the table before us is the example of that. It is Jesus coming to save sinners, to die on a cross, to have his body broken, to have his blood spilled on a cross, because we are sinners. Because there is nothing that we can do to restore that brokenness. Jesus came out of love. He came out of a desire to restore what was broken. And it is this that we remember. I want to invite the ushers to come forward as we get ready for our time of communion. And here at Faith Fellowship Church, we don't ask that you are a member of our church. We just ask that you are a member of the church, and that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Scriptures calls us to examine our hearts before we take this, to confess any unconfessed sins in our lives. I ask that you would take this time. Be in prayer. Confess the sins that you have committed. And if you have yet to accept Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day which God is calling you into a relationship with him. And if you call on the name of Jesus, if you understand what he did for you on that cross, it is faith that saves. That is the message of Galatians. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Take a moment and prepare as we remember his sacrifice today.